Hey everybody, Tim Evanicki here with The College Audition, back again with another episode of The College Audition Podcast, here today with my special guest, Mr. Matthew Chellis, Associate Professor of Voice and Director of the Musical Theater Program at the University of Colorado Boulder. Thanks so much for joining us today, Matthew.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Tim.
My pleasure. So as always, we like to get to know the person before the program. So if you could give us a little bit of your background, your career, your training, your history that led you up to your time at the University of Colorado Boulder, that would be great.
Sure. Well, I, like most of us, got the theater bug watching the Tonys as a little boy in Northern Michigan, because that was about the only thing I had to do. Consequently, had some really wonderful mentors in high school who kept me on that path. And then I decided to go to the University of Michigan for my undergrad in musical theater. And I was very fortunate. It was the first year that Brent Wagner had come from Syracuse University and started the well-known program at the University of Michigan. And I spent four amazing years there. And then after that, I moved to New York and was very fortunate, started working right away. Back in the day, those of you who might remember Equity Library Theater, which does not exist anymore, I was in the off-Broadway production of Kismet and of Chess there. And that kind of started everything, and worked pretty consistently in the city, and was always getting some interesting feedback from mentors from the University of Michigan, because I also studied classically, and they were like, when are you going to do what you should be doing? And in their mind, that was singing opera. And I was like, ugh, that's the last thing I want to do. A bunch of, you know, people with horns on their head standing around singing in a language that I don't know. Does not sound fun to me. So anyway, I for some reason, it kept niggling at me. I ended up going back to school, to Manhattan School of Music and to Juilliard, and consequently made my New York City opera debuts in 1995, and still had my foot in both worlds, in theater and in classical music. And again, was very fortunate for, you know, really the last 30 years working and teaching. I taught at NYU starting in 2001, and then moved to Chicago with my partner and started teaching at the Chicago College of Performing Arts at Roosevelt University in Chicago. Enjoyed my time there. And then the opportunity came up to come out here to Colorado, to the University of Colorado and the College of Music, and to actually start a program, which we call the Bachelor of Music and Musical Theater degree. We're in our fifth year. The cohort is going strong. We have 30 people in the entire cohort. We take a very small cohort every year of a maximum of 10 students. But that's kind of how I ended up here, because as one of the larger colleges of music and in the Pac-12, it was really interesting that they had a musical theater degree program in theater and dance that was associated more with BFA in theater, but they didn't have a full-blown musical theater degree. So that's how I ended up here.
And at I almost said UC Boulder, but it is CU Boulder, even though it's University of Colorado.
They say both, though. It's very confusing.
Okay. But what is correct? What is...
They have it in media as CU Boulder, and they have it, and then you're supposed to say University of Colorado Boulder. Behold, I tell you a mystery, Tim.
University of Oklahoma does the same thing to me. They're OU and not UO, and I get confused all the time. Anyhow,
all of it.
So we are talking about a Bachelor of Music in Music Theater, which is offered in the School of Music. What other degrees, performance degrees, if any, are there at CU Boulder?
There are quite a few different ones. In the College of Music, obviously there are Bachelor of Music in Performance. There's BME in Education, Bachelor of Music in Education, and any kind of major university music school degree. Then in the College of Theater and Dance, which is run through the College of Arts and Sciences, they have a BFA in acting. I believe they also have a BFA in directing and tech, and they also have a BFA in musical theater that Bud Coleman started about, I think, 16 years ago now. And the difference is, it's very confusing at the moment because we do have two degrees. The BFA in music theater has quite a few less credits just in music and in studying music, theory, history, all that kinds of stuff. The BFA in music theater has, I think, 31 credits in
music, and the degree that I run, the Bachelor of Music, Music Theater, has 71, which includes more credits in theory history. You get a full hour voice lesson every week with a major professor in the BMMT degree program with us, as opposed to a half an hour with TA for 2 years in the BFA MT. We get along great. We share courses. Our students take acting together, dance together, a lot of different things. And their focus has been more on the acting part of it, I would say. And it was very interesting that when I came to University of Colorado Boulder, that they, at being a Pac-12, a big school, we really didn't have, per se, a real dedicated musical theater degree program. And so that's one of the reasons why we ended up doing it as a BMMT degree in the College of Music.
Great. So, imagine that I am a first year Bachelor of Music and Musical Theater degree, music theater degree coming to Boulder. Can you sort of walk me through what my first year looks like?
Sure. Your first year will be obviously you have your voice lesson with your professor. That is kind of determined. We allow students to pretty much audition teachers. We don't just assign people per se. All of our teachers are very well versed in a lot of different styles of teaching and voice. So you have your voice lesson. You also start a series of courses called a musical theater lab series of courses that starts out introducing, kind of making sure everybody is introduced to the beginnings of music theater, how to get up on your feet, how to organize, learning how to do your 16-bar cuts, 32-bar cuts, getting up and really starting to analyze how we, how should I say, how we work through and study through the music that we are learning. So there's the musical theater lab class. They have voice and movement, which is through more the acting school. They also have a first year theory class and a first year piano class. And then the other courses that they can take generally are electives in dance and other courses that we offer.
So what type of student, this may seem like an obvious answer, but what type of student should be going toward that BM instead of the BFA?
Well, what I've just been always a big fan of making sure that a student, no matter what performance degree they're working in, as far as voice is concerned, is to be as well-rounded a musician as they can. And I think that our degree really tries to create a well-rounded musician who, A, knows how to have piano skills, has some theory skills, has that hour voice lesson every week plus a half an hour coaching is key, in my opinion, for the 4 years also. I think that it's suited to a student, not necessarily somebody who wants to do both classical and music theater, but I think it's suited to somebody who wants to really be able to be prepared. I remember at an MTA conference, we had some producers and agents, and we were asking them, what's the number one thing that they see lacking from students who graduate from a program? And the number one thing that all four of them said was musicianship skills. Like they didn't feel like they could consistently count on people to come to a, say, a workshop performance or something and be able to, not necessarily even sight read, but be able to learn something very quickly, to do cold reading, to have had some camera classes and things like that. But they were really concerned about the musicianship skills so that the speed of what they were requiring of their people that they were casting for, they didn't feel that a lot of the programs were preparing the students to be able to kind of on the spot be able to do what was required of them. So.
And you had mentioned that the BM has several more credits that are required of the students. So, does that leave any room for the students to for electives or a minor or to tailor that degree or their time there to their own personality and what they're looking for?
Yes, it does. We're very lucky. We have actually, I have 5 students out of the cohorts right now because I have 35 in the entire cohort right now, and 5 of them are literally double majoring. they do have an adequate amount of time to take courses that are outside of music and theater, but also to explore regular theater, Shakespeare, African dance, a lot of different film, television recording. So they have a lot of opportunities to be able to do that at a large university like at CU Boulder.
And a common misconception, I'll say, is that a Bachelor of Music program doesn't leave as much time for the acting and the dance side of music theater. So can you chat to me a little bit about what students are taking in dance and their abilities to level up in dance while they're there, just in case they're coming in with, years and years of dance training?
Sure. We actually have quite a large dance program through the theater and dance college where the students, I think we have, what is it, 12 to 14 credits that is generally across the board in dance for the 4 years. We kind of have preferred right now to do it as a, I don't want to call it a buffet, but we want to make sure that students who are coming in, like you were saying, who have a lot of ballet experience, who have a lot of tap experience, that they can tailor what they already know if they don't have, if they don't need to take beginning ballet or tap or music theater styles or things like that. We also have a very large hip hop division that the students take quite a bit of that, as well as African, a lot of different dance courses. And the acting courses, we also have Colorado Shakespeare in the summer, so a lot of our professors in theater and dance are connected with that, and all of the acting courses that they can take. They, outside of taking these theater labs, which we've kind of rolled into Acting One and Acting Two, through the 4 years, they can branch off and take different acting courses that they feel interest them more, whether that's Shakespeare, whether that's contemporary theater. There's a whole range of things that we include in their requirements for theater and dance that we can kind of tailor their experience to, which is one of the benefits, I think, of us being new. This is our 4th year having the program. So we're kind of doing things a little bit, like I said, I don't want to use the term a la carte. That's not the point. I'm trying to make sure that everybody gets what they need in a focused atmosphere, which I think is kind of the future of what people want or the students want.
And what about performance opportunities? Being in a school of music, I'm sure there's more opportunities than just plays and musicals to them available to them. So walk us through sort of what's available each year.
Oh goodness, there's so many performance opportunities through the College of Music and through theater and dance. We're very fortunate. We have a very fluid audition policy between the two programs. So our students can audition for any of the straight plays, BFA Music Theater. They produce a one musical a year. We produce two plus a freshman showcase. We just closed Drowsy Chaperone, and we'll be doing Chicago in the spring. Then every 2 years, we also do a joint production with Eklund Opera. This last spring, we did Guys and Dolls together in the very large space, Mackey Auditorium, which seats about 2,300 different people. Different people. Good Lord, my meds from my illness are taking over. I'm sorry, Jim. Excuse me. So on top of that, they can audition for, there are many different student groups. There's the Sandbox Theater Group. There again is Chicago Shakespeare Festival. There is something called New Opera Works, which isn't just about opera, it's about new musicals, new experiences. We have a very, very interesting black box theater where the students are able to work with blue screen and different aspects of video production. So there's all sorts outside of if people are interested in any kind of ensemble singing, or if they play an instrument, they can audition to be in certain instrumental ensembles also. So there's so many different performance opportunities outside of what the programs offer. So BMMT, we offer two fully staged musicals with live orchestra, and then we do the freshman showcase for the freshmen. And then, like I said, the students are able to audition for any of the productions in the BFA MT program, which they do straight plays and they do one musical a year. So they have a lot on their plate. We're actually trying to almost reel some of it in because sometimes it's almost too much for them to maintain academically what they have because they have too many options. But as far as performance opportunities, they have a lot.
You mentioned something briefly that actually has come up as a question before, and I always forget to address it when I'm talking to Bachelor of Music programs. If a student plays an instrument, are they allowed to study that privately as well, in the university, and how does that work into the curriculum or work into their schedule?
Yes, they are. That's kind of a independent thing with whoever the instructor they would want to audition for is. We have different versions of how that what that would look like. There are graduate TAs in different programs, say piano or guitar, who offer lessons, but we have had students who are talented enough who say, I had a student who played double bass in from Wisconsin in a professional setting. And so he studied with one of our double bass professors as well as having voice lessons with me. So we definitely try to make that happen. And as you know, so many different productions now and things really love students who are very diverse. Adina Lena Rideout, she's one of our alumni. She's been in a lot of the Sondheim shows, you know, where you have to play. She's a violinist and a cellist, and she's done all sorts of TV work and all sorts of things. But yeah, if a student has those abilities, which we actually really encourage, we can help them to navigate that. It just depends on how it fits into their schedule. And if we have to just find the right fit. We have six dedicated piano teachers, professors, plus their collaborative teachers, plus then all of those graduate TAs who work for them. That's just for piano. But we also have guitar. We have a big string department. And they all love it because all of our instrumental faculty, because we do a live full orchestra for all of our productions. And it's a great opportunity. They love having all their students to be able to play these shows because a lot of them, that's going to be more work that they do rather than playing in an orchestra, is playing either picking up a gig, you know, a production comes into town. Denver Center for the Arts uses a lot of, you know, gig players and things. So the instrumental professors really love the program because their students get a lot of experience through this too.
And other than you, who are some of the other key players in the faculty that students will encounter?
Justin Johnson is kind of my compatriot who helps me run a lot of things. He and I teach a lot of musical theater labs. Tamara Meneghini and Bud Coleman over in theater and dance. There's a whole slew of people that I'm just literally my drugs are making my brain hazy that I can't even think of. If anybody wants to go look on the website at theater and dance, all those people are available who also work for Chicago Shakes. But pardon me. Also all of our coaches, we have some amazing coaches, Jeremy Rieger and Dr. Mitsumi Moteki. Jeremy Rieger is really, really wonderful and really well-versed in all the musical theater repertoire. Jen DiDomenici is on our voice faculty, and she's just unbelievably talented singer who does everything. She just finished doing Light in the Piazza at Central City Opera. She kind of works all over. So we've got a lot of different diverse people who are on literally on the faculty. So.
Great. And you are in Boulder, Colorado. Can you tell us a little bit more about campus? Are you right in the city? Is it more of a classic college campus layout? What is student life like?
Student life at Boulder is pretty awesome. It's such a beautiful campus. I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to come into Boulder. It is right in the city of Boulder at the base of the Flatiron Mountains, and you literally look up in onto the Flatirons as you're walking on campus. It's always rated one of the most beautiful campuses in the country. The facilities, we actually just added a $70 million new addition to the College of Music with studios, dance studios, working recital studios, practice rooms, on and on and on. It's really, really beautiful. campus life in Boulder is based a lot in the winter around skiing and winter sports. It's such an amazing city here out west. We're kind of lucky where we're situated. We're kind of between everything, but also the weather. We get over 300 days of sun here in Boulder. Like in February, it'll snow, at night. It'll be 20 degrees, and by 2 p.m. in the afternoon, it'll be 65. So we get a very diverse group of students who like to do all of the outside activities that Boulder, Colorado offers. But just the campus in general is just so beautiful, and the students. We have students who are involved in Greek life if they want to. I try to limit some of that as much as I can, just because, as you know, in theater, it's really hard to kind of justify some of the Greek life with when they have rehearsal every night. So, but no, they have so many different opportunities to do different programs on their own, student-run groups. There's a big, very, very lively student life at CU Boulder, and we're only like 30 minutes from Denver.
Is there a sports culture there as well?
Yes, there is. Right now, sadly, the CU football team is kind of in a rut, but it's a big sports school. Again, centered around a lot of like our ski team and some of the winter teams, but we have all of the major Division I teams you would think of: men's, women's basketball, football, volleyball, kind of any sport you can think of, we have. And we're ranked in skiing. What's the other one that people don't think of? Mountain biking. That's what I was thinking of. Mountain biking, snowboarding. Yeah.
I've
Who knew
never
that
heard, I've actually never heard of a college mountain biking team. That's interesting.
It's crazy.
And let's transition now into speaking about the application and audition process. First question that I always ask everyone is, do you pre-screen?
We do. We do. And on our website, we have. Do you want me to talk about what the pre-screen involves?
Yeah, tell us about the pre-screen process.
So, pre-screen process is like many universities, they fill out the Common App for the entire university. And then they get taken to the College of Music, and they read about what we need them to submit, which are a contemporary musical theater piece, and then a more classic musical theater piece. But I'm not really married to necessarily Golden Age, pre-1963. I'm more of the ilk that I would like them to sing something, two different selections that represent them on where they are right now. And if that happens to be two ballads, that's fine. And if that happens to be two up-tempos, that's fine with me too. And
Great.
I reflect that because, or if it's contemporary or rock, or if they're going to sing a folk ballad or whatever the case may be. And then they also are to submit a 1 minute monologue. And they write an essay for us on the application, which you read and tell us a little bit more about them. And I screen probably between right now 400 and 500 students. And right now the cohorts are we're really only set up just because of capacity. But I also really only like to take 10 at pretty much the most 10 to 12 students per cohort. And that's not a lot compared to a lot of different programs. But for us, it works really well, again, because of capacity and the amount of time we're able to give to the students. And that also equates to being able, in my opinion, to have the opportunity to do more performances and more larger roles in the 4 years that you're here.
Of course.
So that's kind of where we are with that.
So, several hundred pre-screens. How many are you passing through pre-screens to see at live auditions?
Right now we have 3 invited days in January and February. Well, actually, there are 2 days each weekend, so there are 3 weekends. And I would say it varies. I would say out of that 400 to 500, I try to see between 80 and 90.
So 80 and 90 into live auditions, and those live auditions only take place on campus?
At this point, yes. We're kind of talking about maybe trying to do them maybe try to do one in Chicago and New York and LA. Now that the COVID is over, when we were doing, we do senior showcase in association with theater and dance, and they used to do both in person New York and LA. And as you know, sometimes right now, we're in a situation, or maybe you don't know, I'm trying to figure out a way to skirt some of the college deadline dates with CU Boulder, because as you know, a lot of the because it's what you do, a lot of the those larger auditions that happen, regionals in New York and LA and Chicago, they take place after many schools' deadlines have taken place. So I'm trying to negotiate with University of Colorado to make sure they understand that that doesn't necessarily work in the field of music theater, that we really need to be participating in those. Like you were just in Florida, right? Or you in Texas? I can't remember where you
I just went to Texas, yeah.
were. Texas. So Texas works for us, but some of the other ones that are later, like those big regionals that happen in January, the way our Common App and everything, and we use Slate, which is a conglomerate, I'm not even gonna, please don't make me talk about Slate, which I hate. Anyway, so those kinds of sometimes restrictions on where and who and how I can see them are frustrating. But right now, we only see people live at CU Boulder for those three auditions.
And no virtual options.
We actually do have one virtual option at the end, yes. So
Great.
they can certainly do the invited virtual for sure.
Amazing. So when you're watching those live auditions, what are the things you're looking for in a student that you believe would be a good fit for CU Boulder?
Number one, I'm looking for someone who has something to say. Someone who really wants to show me who they are as a person, as a young actor. The voice, yes, I want to hear a good core instrument, but as you know, there are a lot of things that you can do to work on with a young singer who's 17 or 18 that you can hear and you're like, that's just, inexperience. So as far as the singing portion of the acting and as far as the monologue, I really want somebody to communicate to me who they are, not who they think a representation of what I want them to be. That's the biggest thing.
Great. So if a student or a parent is looking to get more information on your program, what is the best way to get in touch?
The best way to get in touch is, pardon me, they can actually, believe it or not, contact me directly at matthew.cellis.edu. Sorry, matthew.cellis@colorado.edu. It's time to take more medication, Tim. Good Lord.
And I are both fighting a little sickness here. I get
Oh my
it.
God, I'm getting over mine. I've just been, I please, anybody who's listening to this, I hope you don't get the flu. It's awful. Anyway, and then online at the, if you just type in CU College of Music, CU Boulder College of Music, it can take you directly to a lot of different websites or pages at the website. On how to apply, what shows we've been doing, samples of shows, photos, recordings, all of it is there. So, CU Boulder College of Music, that's probably the best way, but just emailing me directly, matthew.cellis@colorado.edu, and I pretty much get to everybody who emails me.
Matthew, before we let you go, tell us something that you're looking forward to in the coming semester.
I am very much looking forward to doing our production of Chicago, which we are looking at trying to see. We are very fortunate. We have quite a few transgender students who are here in the program, and we're very excited to be able to represent them in Chicago. And so that's one thing I'm very, very much looking forward to. I'm also very much looking forward to talking with our people in film about using our blue screen facilities and things to start to really teach students how to use different types of technology to show themselves to in their best light. because, as we know, the initial types of auditions right now are skewing that way towards being in this medium online, and they need to know how to do that to the best of their ability before they get called in live in person. So those are two big things that I'm excited about.
Wonderful. Well, Matthew, it's been really great to sit and chat with you and learn more about your program at CU Boulder. We do hope to have you around here real soon, again in the future. Well, great. Well, thank you so much for chatting, and we will talk to you real soon.
Thanks, Jim.
All right. Bye-bye. For more information on the exciting training, workshops, and resources we have to offer at The College Audition, please visit us online at www.thecollegeaudition.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube.